Jamie's mommy's a mummy.
that's terrible.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to five. Let's you co-sign five, right?
Okay, so when I was talking to Mike earlier, four and five, are some. There are some years where I like four more than five, and there are some years where I like five more than four. It's a toss-up between the two. I mean, I like it. But
you want to set off five, or you want Iron Mike to set off five?
Let Iron Mike set off five.
I'll set off five, and you know, here's my notes on the pros for five, and I will say this. Obviously, the intro with the pumpkin on one and two is ill.
Right.
Having said that, the intro with this one on the pumpkin where it's like, and it's carving, that was good.
Yeah.
That set you up for something like, okay, maybe
I have that too. Ill intro showing, you know.
Yeah.
That was a great callback to one and two, and I liked how they did that because we missed that. We didn't have that in three. We didn't have it in four.
I thought the theme again was good enough.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That would be possible. No, that makes sense because, again, I think it was only Alan Hayworth doing it.
Was
John,
it? Okay.
John Carpenter kind of just left. And, again, they're just doing the same motifs that they did before. So I agree with that.
Another plus, again, I like the rain sequences. I like, you know, that kind of vibe. So there was a real rainy mood there.
What did you think of the cinematography?
I didn't care for it. To me, it was just like point and shoot. Point and shoot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
You know why, right?
Really? Why?
The director, I heard the cinematographer said the director wanted more of a European look in terms of cinematography.
Right?
He wanted them shot with something that was very common for European films.
And that's why they went with that. Okay.
You know, and again, his name was Dominique. I forgot his last name. He only did one other movie, which
is a French guy, right? Yeah.
Yes, he did Amityville 4, the TV movie.
Well, I saw something on the making of, I think it was 5, where he was saying this is going to be one of the better ones up there with the original.
He wanted that way. I will say this about 5. 5 had the enthusiasm of a horror movie director. 4 was good, but I don't think Dwight Little was a horror movie director, in my opinion. I could be wrong. That's not a derogatory statement.
Right.
And none whatsoever. Carpenter is, like, Eric, so Spawn and I were talking earlier, right? A good example is this. The Exorcist is a new Hollywood movie. What is a new Hollywood movie? It's a movie where it's a director's film. The director just wants to tell a story, beginning, middle, and end. Doesn't matter what genre. He just wants to tell a story, right? Mm-hmm. Where Halloween was directed by a horror movie fanatic, a horror movie director, a guy who only wants to do horror movies or sci-fi movies. It's John Carpenter. So you can tell the difference between Halloween 4, where he was a director who's going to tell a story in this genre.
Right.
Where Halloween 5, it was directed by a guy who wants to only direct this genre.
Gotcha.
And I felt 5 was more aggressive. Again, I'm sure the hurdles he came up with was what anybody came up with in the late 80s, namely Friday the 13th Part 8 and Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5.
Right.
They wanted to get grimier, and again, they got their nuts chopped by the... But the rating boards on that, because again, it's still in the 80s and you still could only show so much. So they wanted to go hard and they wound up getting their legs cut off at the knees at the finish line. And this is what happened with 5. And that's my take on it thus far. And I'll let you go ahead and finish what you were saying on 5 at this point.
Okay. I had two more pros, about the movie. There's a moment where Loomis walks to the forest and kind of speaks to the darkness as he's speaking to Michael. He's telling him to come home. I thought that was done well.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that moment. And then the second moment that I liked with Loomis is when Loomis collapses on Michael's chest after that squabble they have in the house. And to me, that kind of brought them together to the closest that they've ever been, you know, since he was his doctor. So to me, it had a couple of good elements.
Right.
But the cons, the list on the cons is quite a bit longer, you know, starting with the mask. The mask was terrible.
But it was better than 4. Well, anything would be better than 4.
Yeah. I think, mask-wise. To me, the hairline was a little too high.
Well, Michael's getting older, you know.
Michael looked like fucking Woody Woodpecker in a fucking Halloween mask.
And the way they rested the mask on him.
Dude, fucking nose. You see that fucking cone on that nose? It looked like he was going to fucking peck someone's eye out.
Well, the mask was off his shoulders, too, sticking out.
Yes, I hate that. Oh, I know. It was horrible. That like, every time, everybody who wore the mask, it was underneath the fucking grease monkey suit. This one's like, here, let me just put it on right fucking here, and it looks so fucking sloppy.
It looks terrible. And then I'm going to quote Spawn on this when we did the Star Wars one when he was referring to Terrence Stamp. Remember you said they had Terrence Stamp and they did nothing with
Amadou. Yeah.
I felt the same way about Danielle Harris not being able to speak for the majority of the movie. And she didn't like that either, by the way.
Right.
She did speak towards the end, small line.
I still felt that she was effective and I thought her acting skills shined.
Yeah, I liked it.
I thought it worked.
I didn't like the whole...
But I agree with you and her.
Yeah.
I like her talking more.
Sure.
You know.
And that whole forced language between her and Michael... Awful.
Oh, I have it right here. I hate the E.T. Eliot psychic connection. I think that shit is fucking whack.
Basura, I liked it. Say, I'm not going to lie. I liked it.
No, I don't like supernatural shit with Mike.
Then why the hell do you watch it then? He always has something new. He's supernatural.
He's supernatural to us, but not to that world. I think to that world.
So in Michael Myers, if at Halloween 1, what psychic connection does Laurie have with Michael Myers?
Isn't it weird that he was stalking her the most? Something was bringing them together.
There's theory out there that he's actually stalking Annie.
No, and I don't think so, because he could have killed Laurie and he didn't. He purposely missed and hit her arm instead to make her fall. He could have fucking nailed her right then and there. He doesn't miss.
So you think it's a psychic connection that they have?
Yes, because they're brother and sister.
You're reaching, brother.
It's the power of the druids. We'll get into it, though.
Already,
six.
Already touched reaching. On... Loomis and how it's just kind of tiresome.
Going back to what you were saying, though, wait, let's finish about Danielle Harris's acting. I did, and I hear what she said in terms of she wished she could have talked more. I did like the fact that she couldn't talk in the beginning because that shows the repercussions of four. And I thought that was good with that.
Right. Now, this is where Loomis gets a little awkward, especially with Danielle. When he's screaming at her, he's grabbing at her. Face to face, where's it? You know, and it's just really bizarre behavior for me. This is really, to me, where Loomis probably his role should have been cut down.
Yeah,
I think so. You got to rewatch it because
Is it because he's desperate though? Is it because at this point he's desperate? Is he himself tired because this guy has been a thorn in his ass for so long and he can't escape from this nightmare?
That's a good point.
Now is he now mentally breaking down? Because I noticed that too.
That's a good point.
He's losing his patience because this is what he's consumed in. When you're trapped in shit, that's what's all going to come out of you. He's already broken now. Michael already damaged him.
Yep.
He's been burnt.
Physically.
Yep. That's a valid point.
People put the blame of Michael Myers on him. He's already dealt with so much that guess what? He's now damaged goods at this point.
Right.
So him losing his patience with Danielle
is understandable.
Is reflective of the continuity of the series of what he's had been dealt with, which would only make sense at this point.
That's fair.
Right. And I liked Unraveled Loomis, and I think he had the best lines. Let me quote this line. In five. He had a great line in five, and it's probably one of the stronger lines in the whole thing. And I hate five. So anyway, but it goes, I pray that he will burn in hell, but I know that hell will not have him.
Yep.
That shit sounds like the way he says it, it's so simple. Anyone else says it, it's like, you know, but it's like poetry coming out of his mouth. It's like when Tarantino writes for the German guy
he's awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Or when Tarantino writes for Samuel Jackson.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it sounds like poetry with him saying these lines, and it just works. I love Loomis. I think I'm biased. I'm gonna be honest. I'm biased
because
of Loomis.
But
there's some great points in this, but there's a lot of shit. So I'm almost done. Then we'll get right to you. I'm sorry.
Annoying as fuck boyfriends across the board.
Don't even get me started. About
across the board. Period. You know what I mean? The one dude cleaning his car. Then you got the other boyfriend. Yes, just annoying
with the knife thing. That he goes,
the knife. Yeah. Right.
I just, you know, it's just common fodder. Like, I'm okay with that because no one cares about
it. It becomes Friday the 13th at that point.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, and then let's get to the Myers house. Obviously, it's different. We know why.
Right. Yep.
Unacceptable in this franchise. Mm-hmm. Unacceptable. It doesn't even look like the neighborhood. It doesn't even look like the house. In my opinion, you can't do that here. Right. You've got to figure something out, you know what I mean?
In the 80s, I'm sure it was cheaper to film out Midwest, and that's something they were like, I'm sure Mustafa was like, they'll be fine with it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's reasons for all that, but I
agree with Mike, and I agree with Vito, it's just, you know.
Not feeling the tear coming out of Michael's eye.
I kind of like that, actually.
Okay. Do you?
Because it represents his rage, like he's fighting something, like whatever demons is pushing him. That represents something about him, and you'll never know. That's why I like about it, because it's too, like, where that tear come from, and what does it represent, and the fact that I don't know, and it's so ambiguous. That's why I like it.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, and that's a good point. The last thing, my problem here is the stance, the Michael stance. He just holds the knife like this, it seems like, for the majority
yeah.
of the time.
You
see run into my knife, please. Run into my knife, yeah.
And again, that's because you didn't have a producer that was really strict, like, hey, we got to walk like this. What they did in the first two films, I want you to do. Work on that. And again, that's part of the producer, part of the director.
Right, and they failed.
And that's a mistake, right?
Yeah, they failed miserably.
And instilling the characteristics of the walk, because his walks and movement is very much part of the character, because he doesn't talk.
Sure.
So his movements do the talking for him.
Right. All right. So out of all of them, I think these have the most notes. I have a lot of notes on
five. Is that right?
I despise five because they had so much momentum.
Right,
momentum,
right, right.
Excuse me. From four going into five, and they really shit the bed. Daniel Harris acting, I thought she was on point.
Right.
But Tina was, I think, was the friend, and she is the worst, most annoying fucking character.
Oh,
in
yeah.
She is horror movie.
No,
history.
No, hold on.
No. She makes Shelly from fucking Friday the 13th.
Shelly's fucking
three,
awesome.
Look like fucking, you know, Robert De Niro. And she makes fucking Joey in Friday the 13th Part 5 look like Pacino in Godfather 2. You know what I'm saying?
She's
fucking horrible. She makes me
really
angry.
Okay.
Why are you so frustrated with
her?
Wait.
Her dance in the beginning. Her fucking just her stupidity. Her just she's just and I feel bad. I feel bad.
Right.
Whoever wrote that shit for her or her, I don't know who to blame. It's just an abomination on screen. It's just, it's god.
Now hear me out, and I get why you're saying that, right? Credit due to the actress to make you feel that much hatred for the character, because that tells you how talented the actress is.
But that's not her job. You were supposed to like her.
No,
we
discussed
this a million times. But no, that's not where it works. We talked about that.
But she was designed to be annoying. And here's the thing: I know
why.
Talk to the writers. She was directed by the director to be a certain way.
So it's okay.
I agree with you. She,
I think she was trying to be. She was trying to be funny, and she was trying to be charming, and she was trying to be, you know, like a goofy, funny character that stands out. But she failed miserably.
I disagree. I think it worked out that she was that annoying character. Credits due to the actress for pulling that off, because you have to be that great of an actor to pull that so much passion from you that you hate the character so much. She did her job, and she did her job well.
I think she did it. It was the opposite. I think she was trying to be charming, and it.
Nah. Here's the thing.
Yes.
I actually know someone in real life who has that same behavior and personality. So, like, goddamn.
Is she in a mental ward?
She should be, but she's not. But my point is this. You have to be one hell of an actor to bring out that passion of a fan watching a movie to be like, I hate this so much. You did a great job.
She did a bad job.
She did an amazing job.
She was trying to be funny.
The script, per the direction she was given.
No.
Yep.
Well, that may be the reason, but I think it failed. Don't you think?
Yes. On all levels, it failed
miserably. I have her back
okay.
on this one.
No.
Okay. Look at Annie and the other ones. Totally. How iconic is Totally?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she's
and
not
annoying. Right.
She wasn't annoying. She was a likable character.
Sure.
This chick was trying to do something similar, and it failed.
I disagree.
Circus music with the cops.
Oh, we didn't even touch on that. Go ahead.
And they're running out, and they're just idiots.
Yeah, that was.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I want to hear Vito gives a pass for everything.
He likes everything bad. Howard the Duck. I'm telling you, bro.
First of all, why are you bringing Howard in? I told you, leave Howard
because
out of this shit.
That is your. You know what I'm saying? No,
first of all, this.
Like, he also likes vanilla. Howard. He also likes the Vanilla Ice movie, Cold as Ice. Go ahead.
Actually, it was cool. I saw the movie recently. It was a cool little fun movie. I'm not saying it was like fucking Oscar worthy, but it wasn't bad. What?
Cricket.
Hey, you say what you will, but it is what it is. But Howard the Duck, first of all, that movie is a cult classic.
No.
Watch the comments when this drops and be like, hey, motherfucker, Howard was dope. What are you talking about?
That's right.
That was with Jessica Rabbit?
No, that was
the chick from
Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
Leah Thompson.
What am I thinking?
Bestiality.
What was the one with Jessica Rabbit?
Bestiality.
Which is the movie with Jessica Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yep.
Oh, so
yeah. That was,
maybe that was Zemeckis.
So I didn't like all the Men in Black bullshit. I'm not a fan of the Thorn.
What do you think about the Black Boot
I do
guy?
Not like
I
it.
I was cool with it. I thought it was a dope.
Especially if you look at Part 6, you see the reveal. It is just, I don't know. It's that whole thing
I
is whacked.
Even when
it.
He was shooting at the end, it looked like he had like a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
That was a
mistake.
That was dope. I don't know. I thought this shit was dope, dude.
He becomes an anti-hero in this one because the characters are annoying. So now you're rooting for Michael, which is defeating
That's
the purpose.
That's an interesting point. I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
defeating
that.
The purpose.
First of all, don't use those characters. Everybody was rooting for the bad guy in the fucking 80s. We only went to see these movies to see them fuck up people. So don't be using these characters as an excuse. Oh, we're rooting. We were rooting for Michael in 4. We were rooting for Michael in 5.
No, that's not the
we're
point.
Rooting
you
for
failed.
Jason in
you
6.
We, you just agreed with me 40 minutes ago about failing when you turn the you make the monster less a monster.
Well, at that point, it is what it is, right? I mean, we're going. We,
but you just contradicted yourself from 30 minutes ago.
I did not.
You co-signed what I said, and now I'm saying it again, and you're not co-signing.
I am co-signing. I'm just saying, first of all, we always
play,
rooted for
play
the
back,
guy.
Back when he co-signs it. All right.
Either way, all right. We're all rooting for the bad guys, whether it's Michael Myers, Jason
right,
Voorhees, Freddy Krueger.
But wouldn't you be rooting for it more if he's killing someone that you actually care about?
Hold on. I got. Can I interrupt
okay.
here?
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Okay. Real quick. We'll get right back to you guys. Another mask issue. The beginning of 5, mm-hmm. by the way, gives you the ending of 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he falls down the thing and goes down to the water and ends up in dude's little camp, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When he collapses, when Michael Myers collapses, and I'm going to attach some pictures so you can see. When he collapses behind the man and falls down or whatever,
right.
It's the 5 mask, and it should not be.
Right.
It should be the 4 mask.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah, they
you,
totally failed.
So
yeah.
which makes you wonder, did they have both masks and they were like, let's go with this one? Was that like a...
I don't know what the
they
fuck
probably
they were
said. They probably, like you said, Vito, back then, they're probably like, okay, this is the mask we have now. Let's shoot this flashback. Or, you know,
there you go.
Before, which, again, is a mistake. You know, but that's
right.
probably what happened.
So, in my opinion, the strongest scene in this debacle called Halloween 5, was it Revenge of Michael Myers? Or,
yeah, Revenge.
Okay. The strongest scene to me is when he's wearing the other mask and he's driving around the girlfriend. And I felt that was very 1978, very tense.
I did like that scene. That was a good scene.
That's that fit his personality.
I agree with
you
there.
On fucking with people.
Yes, agree.
And like getting close to them but not letting them know.
Basically,
kind of like Bob, right? With the
when he was wearing the white right. sheet over his head.
Right, Bob.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Yeah, so that scene I feel is the strongest.
That's a good point.
That's the strongest scene in the whole debacle of this movie. The barn scene, those
You're
characters.
You're being a little harsh by calling it a debacle. I'm
oh, it's an abomination.
The kills were whack. Well, go ahead.
Kills are whack. The barn scene is garbage. I couldn't wait for these characters to die.
Sure.
That guy with the knife, the stupid cops. And it's funny because for years they always said that Friday the 13th was a ripoff of Halloween, but Halloween 5 is a ripoff of the last of Friday the 13th movies of the mid 80s.
Oh, that's a bunch of horseshit.
Total ripoff.
That's a bunch of horseshit.
The unlikable characters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it was just.
You didn't like Tina. I like Tina. That was her name.
You're
Tina.
The only one that liked Tina. I guarantee.
I'm sure she has plenty of fans out there.
And they probably belong in that home where your friend is. You know what I'm saying? The one that's just like.
Either way, they still fans out there. So you cannot say it's an abomination.
Okay. All right. Car chase scene was intense. I thought that was intense, but
yeah, that was good. That was good.
The more I watch it, you know, that scene should have been over in 0.60
seconds.
No,
you
know
what
I'm saying?
No, and Spawner's
that's
right.
That's a 1967 Camaro.
That
she
was been dragged out.
Roadkill.
Here's the thing though on that. So you're talking about the drag race. He should have killed him sooner. Remember, he walks. He can run if he wanted to, right? So he's probably chasing him just to fuck with him even more. Like,
right.
Yes.
I'm cool with that.
He can walk on roofs, too, if he wanted to.
Yeah, he could.
Or he has a hard time.
Either way, he knew he could have killed him more, but he wanted to make him run and suffer. He takes great pleasure in scaring you and with the terror that you feel before he kills you.
Right.
He gets off on that.
Right.
So,
I'm just saying, you know. But I agree with you. I agree with you. Again, like you said earlier, that Loomis's last minute attempt to reach out to him, go home.
But he's always done that.
Oh, and I, you know, it's funny, is I've seen this movie 1,000 times too, and the thorn mark on the wall, for some reason, it popped out this time.
They call it the Thorn Trilogy. I don't remember seeing
in
4.
There was no thorn in 4. The first time you see it is on.
It's 5, right?
Right.
But,
it's on the opening credits where you see Mike. And you see it on his arm.
That was
because 5 is connected to 4 and then ends with 6. That's
yeah.
why it's called the Thorn Trilogy, because it started from here.
You know what was whack when Michael burned the thorn on the hay? Come on.
Yeah.
No, I was cool with that.
Remember, it was like a big, like he's really going to design. I don't know, man.
I was okay with that.
Yeah.
That was
cool
whack.
With that?
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
If I can,
how Vito gives passes for this awesome, man.
Here's why. If I can accept everything else in the prior 4 films he's been
right.
I'm not going to nitpick that. Because at that point,
yeah,
nothing he
right.
should be doing should work. I should be finding faults in everything that he does. But
that's
besides getting
point.
Shot at the end of part 1, what faults would you have?
He got fucking blown away in four.
No. I said besides getting shot at in part one, what else? What other faults would you have with part one, with when it comes to Michael Myers?
The fact that he's always out there. If you think he's always mysterious, is he a lot? Is he real? Is he not real? Like okay, not faults. Let me back this up. Let me clarify this. People say, well, Mike brought up a good point. He put up, the thorn symbol, right? But it all goes into why you can't nitpick anything, because look at everything that he does. You know what I mean? He somehow magically appears. Like, for instance, he somehow made it to the hospital faster than the nurse did, right? And he's right there watching her. Like, he knows where to pop up at. He's always
there.
That's
fair when you look at it like that.
So if you want to there's nothing to nitpick, because there's so many things that, how do you explain that he does what he does? How did he even know where Lori fucking lived? Right. You know, or be out there? And why was it that he just has this obsession with her if he's just a random person? You know what I mean? Right. How did he know that Jamie Lloyd was his niece and would know where to go and where to find her and where to go through her shit?
Well, they in the opening scene of part four, they say in the ambulance, he says that the only family member is the daughter of his sister.
But where would he know how she would be at? That's what I'm just saying. So I can't sit there and nitpick the thorn symbol when there's so many other examples we could question. Just let it be.
But what's, like, in terms of, like, Supernatural, besides him getting shot and getting up, what was supernatural about him in part one?
You don't really see his eyes. You never see his eyes. There's always that darkness in the mask. I mean, you see his eyes when he removes the mask.
But that's not to do with supernatural.
Yeah, he said, Carpenter said, he's maybe he's supernatural, maybe he's not. You know,
it's ambiguous. No. He took the shot.
That's just what
he said. Yeah, but this...
Okay,
he took
the thorn. The thorn shit is supernatural... shoved down your throat.
Yeah,
but
the ambiguousness is the brilliance of it.
But it's is it supernatural? We have to understand that after so many movies in, it's just saying, "Hey, guess what? Yeah, he is supernatural." Because never mind the gunshots. If you want to argue, okay, he took some gunshots, maybe didn't hit any major arteries. He still fell off a 2-story house on his back. Why was it? And yet he got up, no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, or how he can crash through a double-plated glass.
That's why he was sore, and that's why he moved like a robot in part two.
Then how do you explain he walked through a double glass? A double glass door.
Oh, that was rage.
Then that would mean, by definition, that Laurie Strode is supernatural in one and two, if they're the same bloodline.
There you go.
Maybe. No, I
take him going through the glass as rage. And just straight up rage. You know what I'm saying? Like, where someone's just to that point where he's just fucked.
No, he was walking too calmly. He killed. I don't think Laurie is supernatural. I'll take that back. He is just. He's possessed by some sort of demon. That's whack to me. He's something about devil. He's about hell incarnate. He is from hell.
He killed Judith, right? His sister. Right. She didn't make it.
Right.
So would she soul be, is she tainted. Would be supernatural too, right?
His the soul, same
bloodline. Right, yeah. She should be alive.
Right. He is a tainted dark soul. We don't know how deep that darkness goes.
And the beauty of it is the mystery. And I think the thorn...
I agreed.
It killed it to me. But
anyway. And I won't disagree with Spawn on that one, but that's also what makes it so guilty pleasure because that's what they did in the 80s. Like, fucking Freddy Krueger got a backstory that
That worked. No, I think Freddy's backstory worked.
Okay, so let me ask you this. A man who attacks children gets reincarnated, kills them in their dreams.
Right.
Makes no fucking sense. He would have burnt in hell based on all religious facets.
It was just a supernatural thing.
His
whole thing is supernatural. Freddy is supernatural.
Let's stick to Halloween.
Yeah, we'll stick to Halloween. Okay. So anyway, all right. So again, like you said, the last minute attempt to reach Michael in the woods. I thought that was great. Let's see. Daniel Harris, her acting. I thought she was great. The Native American tear was like the commercial from the 70s where the guy throws the trash out and he just, you know, the guy has the tear. I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
Loomis, fucking up with, getting with Mike was cool. Long awaited them having a one-on-one.
Black man in the mask and robe.
That was garbage. This ending is probably the worst. So 4, I thought was the best. 5 is probably the worst. You know, I just hate it.
Out of the trilogy?
Out of the franchise, maybe.
Okay.
You know, yeah, definitely. It's at the bottom of the list. Now, go ahead and tell us how good 5 is.
I know, I like 5. I like 4 and 5, but 4 and 5 is a notch below the first two with starring Michael Myers. That's just without a doubt. And I was telling Mike too. It seems weird that so 4 and 5 are connected together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like 1 and 2 are connected together, just right. Like Resurrection is connected to H2O.
Right.
And I wonder if people will agree with this, that it seems like whenever they do the follow-up to a standout movie. So 1 was a great movie that blew up.
Right.
When 4 came out, it did gangbusters. It was like number 1 for 2 weeks from right. What Mustafa was saying, right?
Yep.
And H2O was well-received. People hated Resurrection, hated 5, and 2 didn't get the love that it gets now.
Right.
I think it's very unique in the series.
That's a great point.
That the follow-up sequels to a standout entry is never well-received.
Right.
It just seems to be sure. The curse of the series. It feels right. Like,
and that's a great point.
And
great
I wonder
I like that.
If Halloween Kills and Halloween End will have a similar fate when it comes out.
I hope not. We'll get to that. Let's go to 6. I hope not. Okay, so 6. I don't remember the theatrical cut at all. He told me to buy the producer's cut.
Yeah, the producer's cut is where it's at. It is. So I'll take over this one. Let me start.
Yeah, this is his baby.
So watching 6, I remember seeing the trailer and getting this real amped up about it, right? And I go, we see the movie. I was on a date at the time. And I just felt so let down. Like, I thought this movie was going to be so much harder than what it was. And then what we got was just a jumbled mess. Like, I felt like they, you know, in the theatrical cut, due to the editing process, because they didn't have faith in the producer cut, they hacked up the movie just to make it a standard slasher film that, you know, touched upon the Druid elements they were supposed to talk about in 6, right? So you felt cheated off of that. The kills, they were okay. They were okay. I mean, it was the movie. Let me convey this the best way I can. I just felt like the way the trailer came off, I thought the movie was gonna be a lot harder than what it was, and I felt the end result was a movie that was so much dumbed down from everything. You know, I was my letdown. Like, I didn't like the ending. I thought was kind of like very 90s-ish. I don't know how, and because I don't know how else to describe it. You know, him, Michael Biehn being down with green blood. It just kind of felt like it ran off the rails from what it was supposed to be concluding. Like, it was supposed to conclude 4 and 5, and I felt like all it did was go off the rails and win its own territory, and I never got the appropriate follow-up or conclusion to what was talked about at the end of 5. It just kind of just went, yeah, 10 years later, he banged his sister, had a nephew, now he wants to kill the nephew. That, you know, yeah, so they brought back Tommy Doyle. And I love Paul Rudd, but again, it didn't feel like the movie, the way it was edited, went anywhere. Where the producer's cut, it's so much more coherent. The characters are much richer. Everything makes sense as to what's going on. And yes, say what you will about the Man in Black at the end of 5, but that's what they had to work with. So when they started to work on number 6, the idea was like, hey, we get it has a jumbled history. We do need to clear this up, though. And they specifically hired someone to do that job, and then they kind of pushed out at the end when they got the final product and hacked everything up and re-edited the film. Where, to me, the producer's cut, and say what you will about The Man in Black and 5, I won't argue with you on that, but the whole purpose of 6 was to wrap everything up and just to end it. Well, the producer's cut actually does that for me. And again, this is all subjective. You may feel differently about it, and that is fine, and I understand and can appreciate that. But for me, when I watch 4, 5, and 6, it's the right way to end the Thorn trilogy, because they actually go in it hard enough to where they link up 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Whether or not you agree with how they did it is completely subjective, but at least they acknowledge everything that came before it and tied up the loose ends. I thought it was to this day, I don't know why Dimension Films did not have faith in the producer's cut of Halloween 6. Because the Curse of Michael Myers that came out, it did well enough that they spawned 2 more sequels, but I think that's because Scream came out and they realized they had a franchise that they can milk off of again. But to me...
Well, this was before Scream.
But I'm talking about why they ended up doing another sequel anyway, because...
Oh, gotcha.
The success of Scream,
right?
And led them to go to the. What else do we own? Okay, right. We have Halloween. Let's do that. But we'll get into it at that point. Mm-hmm. But I really do feel the producer's cut is much more coherent, and it tells the story that it's supposed to tell.
Okay,
it's kind of like with Alien 3. You have to appreciate Alien 3. You have to watch the producer's cut to get the full story. Because when you take a full story and you cut out chunks of it, You leave either the audience unsatisfied or confused. And that's how Halloween 6 is, the theatrical cut. Because again, you're supposed to give me the follow-up to what happened at the end of 5. And the theatrical cut of 6 does not do that in any satisfactory way whatsoever to me. Mm-hmm. But with the producer's cut, yes, it acknowledges everything from 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. And I think it did it well enough.
What do you say? What do you think?
It was refreshing to see, even though this was Paul Rudd's first film, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It was refreshing for me to see him in a different role.
Wait, what was it? Was it
introducing it. I think I said
introducing. But I thought Clues came out before Halloween 6, though.
It did. It was the first time I seen him, so
for me, okay, so Halloween 6 came out...
1995.
Right, but it was like the winter of 95. Like
okay, Halloween, so was it before or after
Clueless? No, Clueless came out in the summer of 95, even though this one says, I think...
It says introducing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so I think they filmed it prior to, and then...
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
For me, it was refreshing to see him... in a different type of role. I really like the setup in his room.
Yes.
The stuff on the case. It kind of is reminiscent of true crime.
Right.
So I like that part about it. He was trying to figure out what happened to Michael at this point. I did like that aspect of it. He was a little creepy, right. A little weird.
I have that written down.
A little awkward.
Yep. And I think it's because of what he experienced in the first movie. He was damaged from that.
And bullied.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoyed that part of it. To me, a step up from 5, and that the Myers house looks more like the original than
but again, 5 did. The problem is, again, going back to what you said, they're trying to do something, but it's frustrating as a fan that they just couldn't
correct
get that right.
In my opinion, you got to try to get that right. Now, some of the cons for me are going to be no Danielle Harris.
Right.
And she wasn't a big fan of that as well.
Well,
right. She would have been old enough to play...
She totally would have.
It was 7 years later. Would you put her at 12?
They didn't want to pay her. She asked for a certain amount of money, which I think she deserved because, again, she was as her connection to Halloween is, in my opinion, the equivalent to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Absolutely.
At this point.
And Loomis. Yep. Yeah.
Because she was the center focus of 4 and 5. Yep. You're coming back to 6 to see the conclusion of 4 and 5. Right. And because they didn't feel. She was worth the money.
Mistake.
It's a mistake. It's a Thorn trilogy. How do you not get that right?
And
you know what I'm saying? That would be the equivalent then of not bringing Jamie Lee back
absolutely.
To play Laurie Strode which in is a why sequel to 2.
I agreed, and which is why I think when the passing of Jamie Lloyd happened, it wasn't that impactful because it was portrayed by a different actress, where I think if it was Danielle Harris in that death scene...
It would have hit harder.
Yes.
All right, so some more of the cons... the negatives for 6 that I picked up. There's a couple little things, like when Jamie was running, holding the baby.
Right.
It was a blanket.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like they didn't even try. Just try to do something.
It's a horror blanket. Movie. I didn't expect him to use a real baby in there.
Passes, right? Passes.
He gives everything passes, bro.
That's cool, man.
This is up good movies. If it's a good movie, he'll you know.
Was different. I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. I can't get mad at McDonald's worker for just giving me a Big Mac. I already know what I'm getting when I walk into that establishment. Now, if I go to a 5-star restaurant, yeah, I'm going to critique you a lot differently.
It was disturbing to me, too, man, to see the baby get painted on of that thorn. You know, sitting there naked in front of those dudes with
right.
the robes and shit. That was just kind of disturbing to me. That's
right.
That's more subjective than...
To me, that felt like something from the early 80s, like those sword and sorcerer films, like The Beastmaster, they did something similar
right.
where mm-hmm. they did that, where they, you know what I mean? Where
the, or like which, the newer movies like Midsommar, that type of shit, you know what I'm saying? Like the
right.
I didn't
know,
see
The Vitch, that type
okay.
of stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, so the kid, right? What's this kid's name? Danny?
Oh, the little boy.
There was a part where, remember he was screaming in terror? There was a point
yeah.
where Michael's trying to get to him.
Yeah.
But then there's a scene where he actually goes... to where Michael just kills somebody, kind of walks into the house, and
yeah.
that girl had to chase him, which
yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird. One moment you're freaking out, the
right.
next moment you're brave and you walk in.
Right.
Remember, he goes up the stairway.
Yes.
And Michael's there, so I thought that was kind of weird. I thought the whole cultist concept to me is whack. I don't think anyone, I don't think Michael is controllable in that
Thank
sense.
You.
Like I said, I get why they make choices.
Right.
You know, I don't shit on that. You know, trying to do something different, but
right.
for me. A cult, and though it didn't work because he wiped out a lot of them cats in that room, right?
He did. I would say, like, watch if you get your hands on the producer's cut and then watch it, watch 4, 5, and 6, but 6 being the producer's cut of that movie,
right?
And there was a line in 2 that really caught my ear because I was watching 2 last night again. And there's a scene in the school where they're acknowledging that he wrote in blood, Samhain, and Loomis starts going over the history. He says the Druids felt by sacrificing one of their own from the clan, the rest of them would be safe. That tied into 6, the producer cut, explaining why he's controlled by things. So the whole point they're saying is Michael was chosen to do what he does to eliminate his family bloodline so the rest of the world would be safe.
Spawn's not buying it.
Well, Spawn doesn't buy a lot of things, but... And I agree, it is out there, but again, we didn't write 4 or 5, it's just what they had to work with, you know what I mean? Because of what 5 did, they had to make sense on that, so the writer of 6 went through everything and tried to find as much that he could to tie all the movies together.
Another kind of downfall for me was the annoying dad. I mean, it was a good payoff to see him get killed the way he did. That was a good setup right. for the payoff of that.
He was now. Let me ask you: he looked the actor looked familiar.
Very, very familiar.
I forgot he was in something. I think he was also in RoboCop.
Let me look him up.
I think he was also. I'm not sure.
He looks very familiar.
Yeah, he looked and sounded very familiar, yeah. But I can't think of a movie I've seen him. But I just know like I've seen him somewhere.
Yeah, I think he was also in RoboCop. You give me the hot tag because I'm ready to fucking.
Oh, you're gonna get it.
All right, so this whole Halloween 6 gives me Jason Goes to Hell vibes. Where, oh, let's try something new with something established, and I respect that. Again, I'm all about trying something new, but this was so out there. It just didn't fit. It didn't feel like it belonged in the whole franchise. Even 4 and 5, even though they're not perfect. They fit. They still kind of feel like they're part of the
because whole, it went really out there with the whole you know Druid thing, right?
Right. At the time, I forgot that Mustafa Akkad got killed in a terrorist.
He was still alive.
No. But I'm just saying when I watched it, when I wrote this down, I forgot that he had got killed right. in a terrorist act. But I was thinking, what an egomaniac! His name Mustafa Akkad, and it's like 30 seconds, and then it says presents, you know, or whatever. I take it back because how he got killed. Opening kills by Michael. The burnt hand was good, but it's that
the thorn. Thing
of no, the horrible 90s versions of are my favorite 80s characters. So new nightmare. I think it's super boring. We'll talk about it in a later episode. Jason Goes to Hell. We talked about it last episode, how much I fucking despise it.
I like it.
And Halloween, of course. Halloween 6, all shit. All three of them that came out in the 90s for Halloween, their 90s installments, Freddy,
failed.
Jason, miserably. Awful. Now, however you feel about the Thorn trilogy, one thing to me that's a positive, again, Donald Pleasance, just having him in there adds credibility.
Now, let me stop you real quick, because you saw... Now, you've seen both the producer's cut and theatrical cut, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember the theatrical cut. I saw... Okay, so I didn't see this in the theater. Y'all brothers saw this in the theater. You should tell your theater story again. I didn't see this one in the theater. So, at the time, when I first moved back to California in, like, the late 90s, my girlfriend at the time and I went to go see Scream. She never saw the Halloween, so... We went to Hollywood Video, we rented all of them, and that's when I first saw this one. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? You know what I'm saying? And I enjoyed 4 and some parts of 5, but this shit was like, the theatrical cut.
Yeah.
I was like, what
the fuck? It was a jumbled mess.
Yeah, and so, but I don't remember it, because that was the only time I ever saw it.
So let me ask you this then, because you brought up Donald Pleasance. Did you enjoy Donald Pleasance in the producer's cut, his storyline, and how he was working?
Yeah, and I also like the fact that the first thing he says is, I had some skin graft to my face, so I don't scare little children anymore. You know what I'm saying? So they acknowledge the fact that they're not going to, you know, to me, I think he might have wrote that in because this sounds like something
he didn't want to deal with the makeup. And 2, they explained why he was so slow, that he had already had a couple strokes and that's why he was slowing down.
Right. And at that time, it made perfect sense for him to be slow. He couldn't be Van Helsing of 1977, 78 or whatever. He had to be, you know. So I'm biased when it comes to Loomis. I think this had the first bathroom scene of the franchise, which there's going to be many more to come. The kid Danny with the knife was what I thought was well done. Where he pulls the knife on the asshole dad. Yeah, his granddad.
That was good.
But that psychic connection that shit still sucks to me. I think that's whack. Had it been Danielle Harris, of course, when she died, it would have been benefited. The Strode mom.
She's from Better Off Dead.
so the thing with her, she looked like a stereotypical Midwest mom. So she was good. She looks like Lorraine from Mad TV. If you don't know that character, look up Lorraine from Mad TV. Okay. It looks just like the mom from Halloween 6. But what the fuck is Loomis just walking into this bitch's house like they know each other? You know what I'm saying? So oh, by the way.
Because he's Loomis, he can do that.
No, he can't. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was whack. She had some strong acting. She was a good actress. Sam Haines shit was cool. I don't know. I just didn't think it got pulled off. I was intrigued with the Sam Haines stuff always. I always thought that was strong, but I don't think they conveyed it good.
Because it was... Oh, you're talking about the producer's cut?
Just in general. The producer's... Yeah. The only one that I remember is the producer's cut because I've seen it most recently.
I do agree. To me, Loomis was more natural and comfortable in retirement.
Right.
For this yes. one, you know what I mean?
Again, the the whole voices, the Michael hearing voices and shit. The radio dude was a total douche.
I agree. What I'm saying?
I was glad he died, which defeats the purpose. He becomes the anti-hero. I like the nod to Rear Window with
Tommy Doyle looking from the thing.
Sure. I dug that. And the fact that Michael is a soldier for the Thorn cult, I thought diminishes and is beneath.
I don't think he was a soldier. I think
it's beneath Michael Myers to be a soldier for anybody. He is a single entity. He is a one-man show. He's the one-man act.
He's a one-man act, and he's Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasance.
No, I'm saying him as a killer, as a character. You know what I'm saying? To have him be a soldier for Thor, to have him be Vader to the guy's emperor does not work. So I thought that shit was whack, Midsummer bullshit, ruin. The switcheroo was cool at the end where, it's Mike in the mask. And
so let me ask you this. So. Now, this is my theory on
all this. All in all, it's a fucking F minus.
Now hear me. Now this is my theory on that. So now that you saw Mike do the switcheroo at the end, right? Did it make the switcheroo at the end of H2O going to Resurrection more plausible, knowing that he did it once, he could do it again?
Yeah, it does.
Now, and is it also possible, not to jump the gun, or we can?
We can, because it's going to go right into it, so go ahead.
Do you feel...
If it's cool,
if using the producer's cut only, right?
Right.
Could you say the producer's cut ties in continuity A, B, and C, because it ties in Jamie Lloyd with Laurie Strode, and the fact that Mike went ahead and knows how to take off the costume and blend in just to hide, like everybody else, to go about his business. Two... Is it plausible based on the age and the fact that 1998, she faked her death to save
Jamie Lloyd,
when she faked her death, is it possible she had another son at a wedlock and kept her son with her and established a whole new identity, becoming a dean in H2O?
If you want to put that mind cannon thing, that I'm okay with
it. Do you think it's plausible that Jamie didn't know she had a brother that was a year younger than her? Probably happened in, somehow happened in wedlock.
I mean, that's cool and everything. The fact that the cult exists, and
You're right. But I'm just saying, as a producer's cut, though, at the end, when Michael frees himself from everybody and you realize he took off everything to walk out in public and blend in with everybody, is it possible that when Laurie Strode faked her death so Jamie Lloyd would be separated from her, she had a son out of wedlock and decided to keep her son only because she already changed her name and is no longer Laurie Strode anyway, and then kept him as the one remaining piece as she changed her whole identity and became a
the thing with Loomis just defeats your whole premise, because Loomis, she had died of a heart attack years earlier.
Okay, now years earlier could have been in 1996, because it was 2 years after. Remember, H2O was 1998, so could say years earlier is representing. Is talking about 1996. Maybe he died right after the whole.
Maybe
I would separate the Thorn trilogy from H2O and anything.
Right.
You see it as a separate continuity altogether.
Yeah, I wouldn't think to even attach those. Me personally,
right? Because I don't like the cult aspect. Right.
But when you get an opportunity, if you're able to order it or view it or however you get it, watch the producer's cut and then look when you get to the ending.
What cut do you have? What's the cut you have?
I got the regular cut. By the way, the Michael in this one, to me, moved probably the worst out of the entire franchise.
Halloween 20 or Halloween...
6.
Oh, yeah.
He was flailing his arms too much. I thought he was a little too heavy.
Right. Yeah, like I wrote down, like, when did, Gandolfini, James Gandolfini, dress as Michael right. Myers, you know?
Did you feel that way? His movements were the same way in the producer's cut or no?
Yeah, he was all of a sudden he was a fat fuck in the middle. You know what I mean? I'm like,
well, he is middle aged. I'm sure he gained some of that dad weight. He had a kid, so he got dad weight. You know. Late at night.
But I mean, I have no love for Six at all. There's no redeemable anything. One thing I want to jump back real quick that I
shout
did
out
like,
to Six Mask, by the way.
Yeah, he loves Six Mask, but, yeah. And it is a great mask. But one thing about Five that I like that I wanted to bring up that I felt never got props is right before. Rachel gets killed, which hurt me. I felt they killed her too early. But I love the character, so there was the horror, like we talked about earlier. But when she lays down on the bed, when Tina lays down on the bed, you see a clown there, right? There's a clown on the bed that I believe it looked like Mike. Mm. Like, you know, the red and the white.
Okay.
Yeah, the red and the white, I believe. Okay. So I thought that was a nice little foreshadowing, you know. But anyway, so let's go to 20, H2O. You set it off.
You want me to set it off? 20? Yeah.